This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
For that wonderful song this evening. I just want to thank the prayer ministry and the pastoral team for this church for the opportunity to speak tonight. I want to say thank you to those of you who are in the building tonight. And I just want to also say a special thank you for those of you who are watching online, whether it be via YouTube or Facebook. And I want to acknowledge my best friend, the love of my life, who is here with me tonight, my husband, Andrew, and our very active little toddler, Caleb. We've been having such a wonderful time at this week of prayer, and I am so excited because God has given me a word tonight. So if you don't mind, we're going to get straight into the word. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you, God, that we get to share your word. We pray, God, that you will speak through me tonight, God, that you will use me to bring a word to your people. I pray, God, that your people's hearts, they will be receptive. And I pray, God, that your word will do what it is meant to do. We pray, God, that souls will be won for your kingdom tonight. We pray, God, that the broken will be healed. We pray, God, that the sick will be healed. We pray, God, that deliverance will happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. About 2 weeks ago, I had to go to the dentist. And if you know me very well, I do not like to go to the dentist unless it's to do a regular clean. But I had to go because I was experiencing a lot of pain in one of my tooth. And so I went to the dentist to get a filling, and when I went there, he looked on it and he said, "Miss Loynton, we're going to have to also do a crown." And I said, "Sure." I Googled what that looked like, and I did a little YouTube check, and it didn't look like anything too serious. So we went ahead, did the filling, and then I got the crown. And then I went home, but for some reason, I was still in pain. It wasn't making a whole lot of sense. So I called back my dentist. I said, "I don't understand. You just did the filling, but I am still in pain." He said, "Miss Loynton, we probably irritated the nerve a little bit. Just take some pills and give it a little time. The pain will go away." But for some reason, the pain was just getting worse and worse. And so I made another appointment and I went in and I said to him, "Listen to me, I just want to get this out of my mouth. Take this tooth out of my mouth." He said, "No, you don't want to do that because the root is still so strong. You don't want to lose your good tooth." I said, "Doc, I appreciate that you're trying to save this tooth, but I just want you to take it out of my mouth." So his assistant overheard the conversation and she came dashing into the room and she said, "What is going on?" And then he said to her, "Miss Loynton wants to take this tooth out of her mouth." And the assistant said, "No, don't do that." I said, "Listen, I just want this tooth out of my mouth. I want to be out of this pain." And so they realized that their efforts to convince me was just not working. So they brought over the paperwork and I signed all the consents. And even though I was nervous, I was excited at the same time because I was finally going to get this tooth out of my mouth. And so they put me back in the chair and the dentist got his pliers, that's what I call it, and all those things that they do, and they set me up and I closed my eyes and the dentist, he pushed and he pulled and he rocked the tooth from side to side and it started to break up into pieces. And I said, stop! Somebody get my husband. And then before you know it, I saw Andrew dashing inside the room. He said, babe, what's wrong? I said, they're trying to take this tooth out of my mouth, but it is so painful. He said, but why are you taking the tooth out of your mouth? Why aren't you doing a root canal? I said, baby, no, I need to be out of this pain. I just want it out of my mouth. And so he held my hands, and the dentist continued to yank, and he pushed, and he pulled, and he rocked the tooth from side to side, and it broke into pieces, and they flew left, right, and center. But for some reason, the fact that my husband was right next to me, it made the procedure so much easier. And I feel like in 2020, many of us felt as though we were in the dentist chair doing an extraction, where we were being yanked and pushed and pulled and being rocked from side to side and being broken into pieces and being thrown left, right, and center and rooted out of where we're comfortable. And then we find ourselves entering into this new year. And we're wondering, will this finally be the year for my breakthrough? Will this finally be the year when I will stop living from paycheck to paycheck? Will this finally be the year when my business will take off the ground and I will start to see a profit? Will this be the year when God will send me that man or that woman that I know that he has for me? Will this be the year? Will this be the year that I finally break this addiction? Because I am so tired of my life going in circles and in cycles. Will this be the year for my breakthrough? And if we were to be honest, many of us were not sure we were going to make it through 2020. And truth be told, some of our family didn't. Many of our loved ones did not make it. 2 weeks ago, I got a phone call that was so devastating to me. I got a call and learned that almost my entire family in California had the coronavirus. It was so scary. My nephews are only 1 and 4. And if anybody gets the coronavirus, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know the outcome. It's different for everybody. And so I felt very afraid. And I know many of you can relate to how I felt. When Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead, the Bible said that Martha thought that he had taken too long. He was too late. She said, Lord, the body already has an odor. It's been 4 days. I feel as though some of you think that your situation has already gone too far. You're wondering, is there still hope for my dead situation? For months, you've been going through without any signs of a breakthrough. For some of you, it has been years. And you've pretty much lost hope. But I hear Jesus say to Martha, didn't I tell you to believe? You will see the glory of God. So if you're watching tonight and you feel as though God has forgotten about you, God wants you to know tonight, just believe and you will see the glory of God. God, Jesus said to Martha, Martha, your brother will rise again. Martha said, yes, God, I know that my brother will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said, no, Martha, I don't think you understand what I'm trying to say to you. This is Nicole version 4, verse 10. Jesus said, no, Martha, that's not what I'm trying to say to you. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I don't know who needs to hear this to you tonight, but God wants you to know that He is the resurrection. Amen. Your marriage will rise again. Amen. Your finances will rise again. Your children will rise again. Your relationship with your family will rise again. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. God is not waiting until the last day. God wants to do it right now. Some of you have given up on your life. You've given up on life, period. You've given up on the church. You've given up on your purpose. You've given up on that dream that was deep down in your belly. You have given up on your wayward child. But Jesus is saying tonight, I am the resurrection. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you desire and it will be granted to you. Right now, God wants to do it. I want somebody to put that in the chat for me. Two words. Right now. Right now is when God wants to do it. God wants to resurrect that fire that you once had down in your belly when you were so passionate about your walk with God, about the things that you wanted to do for Him. But somewhere along the line, you got distracted. You may find yourself now lonely and divorced and thinking that there is no hope for you to find love again. I don't know who that is for tonight. But God wants you to know that that's not His desire for you. God wants to resurrect you. He wants to restore you. He says in Isaiah 43 verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Yes. And it shall spring forth. He says, I will even make a road in the wilderness. He said, I will make rivers in the desert. And I know what it looks like in the news. I know what it looks like in Washington with these political leaders and the turmoil. I know that it seems as if the coronavirus is just taking over the world and everyone is dying left, right, and center. But God is saying to you tonight, do not be distracted. He says, I am doing a new thing. And whatever I have to do to make it happen, it will.
Mercy.
If any one of you is a parent, or if you've ever had a parent, then you understand that there is absolutely nothing that you wouldn't do for your children. God wants to do a new thing. If you believe that tonight, I want you to put that in the chat. New thing. God wants to do a new thing. We've got to declare it. We're going to declare it tonight by putting it in the chat. God wants to do a new thing. So if you're believing for a new thing in your life in 2021, I want you to go ahead and type it in the chat. New thing. God specializes in doing new things. He specializes in confusing the enemy.
Yes.
The Bible tells us in the text that we read earlier in Mark chapter 5 that Jesus was with the people when a man by the name of Jairus came over to him, pleading for him to come and heal his daughter. She was dying. But by the time Jesus could make his way there, word came that the little girl was already dead. The little girl had gone from sick to dead. I want to go back to school, but I had to help my children first. So my dream has gone from sick to dead. I wanted to buy a house, but I had to help my mother and I had to help my family in Jamaica. So my dream has gone from sick to dead. Jairus's daughter had gone from sick to dead. In Mark 5:35, it says, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? They said to Jairus, why bother the teacher anymore? The child is already dead. I just want you to know in this week of prayer, don't let anyone silence your prayers. Don't let anyone silence your pleas to God, because God have you here for a purpose. No more talking me out of what God has called me to be. We are silencing those voices tonight. You can tell me that I can't do what God has called me to do. And if you tell me to shut up, I may just shout a little louder. I may just scream a little louder. On Sabbath, Pastor Jovan said that we should jump and spin around. Well, I am going to jump, I'm going to spin around, and I am going to bother the teacher a little harder. Why? Because God is doing a new thing. You can tell me that my dreams are dead because my Father has resurrecting power. You can tell me that it's over because I know that God starts all things new. The God that I serve make all things new. So I am going to bother the teacher. I came here tonight to tell you that God's glory is going to saturate every area of your life if you continue to bother the teacher. Jairus was desperate to have someone resurrect his daughter. They told him, your daughter is already dead. Somebody has stopped praying because they think that their situation is already dead. You see, I was praying when I still had hope. I was praying when I thought that there was a possibility that I see how God could make it work. But the moment that I didn't see any signs, I just stopped praying. And I did not realize that sometimes God allows us to make it appear like there is no other option, so that when it happens, that we will know that it's a miracle. If God would have kept your dream alive when it was just sick, then you probably would have thought that you had found a cure. But God allowed that thing to appear dead. And sometimes we get upset that God allowed it to die, and then we stop praying for him to bring it back to life. Martha said to Jesus, if you had come earlier, my brother Lazarus would not have died. So the Bible said, while Jesus was still with the crowds, Jairus' daughter had gone from sick to dead. God, because you took so long, my child has now gone into full-blown depression. God, because you took so long, there is no way I'm ever going to be able to have children anymore. God, because you took so long, my health has completely deteriorated, and the doctors are saying that there is nothing else that they can do for me. It appears as though my situation has gone from sick to dead. But I refuse to believe that it is really dead. God, you did not give me this child. You did not give me this vision. You did not give me this marriage. You did not give me this second chance for me to just sit back and let it die. I don't care what men want to say. I don't care what the statistics want to say. I don't care what the world want to think about my age. I know about the God that I serve, that if he allows something to appear as if it's dead, it's either he's going to give me something new or he's going to bring it back to life. Amen. That's what I know about the God that I serve. So the people said to Jairus in verse 35 of the text, "Why bother the teacher anymore?" I don't know about you, but in 2021, I am going to be bothering the teacher for my marriage. I am getting ready to bother the teacher for my finances. I am getting ready to bother the teacher for my children. Lord have mercy, but I am going to bother the teacher for my church. YouTube, I am getting ready to bother the teacher about my spiritual walk. Facebook, I don't know about you, but I am getting ready to bother the teacher.
Yes.
God is looking for some people who are not afraid to bother him. So Sister Addie, if it's just me alone in 2021, child, I am going to bother the teacher. The problem is some of us are too silent. And that is why our situation has remained dead. Spend less time watching the news and more time bothering the teacher. Spend less time on social media and more time bothering the teacher. I have a very good friend in Jamaica, very independent girl, and she doesn't like to bother anyone. So she called me a couple months ago and she said, "Nicole, I really need your help. I need you to pray for me because I have lost my sense of smell. I cannot smell anything. And it has now affected my sense of taste. I can't taste anything." Can you imagine how uncomfortable that is to lose your sense of smell and your taste for an extended period of time? And so we prayed about it. And week after week, I would check in with her, and there was no improvement. She still wasn't smelling or tasting anything. Anyhow, she reached out to me again in July, and she said, "Nicole, it's been 1 year, and it is so bad that I cannot even tell when my toddler's diaper needs changing. For 1 year, she has not smelled anything, and she's not been able to enjoy her food." Because the doctor she's been to, every doctor, every specialist, they've given her everything you could think of. Antibiotics, steroids, things to smell, you name it, she's done it all. And when she reached out to me, she said, "They have just given me the last treatment option." And she sent the message to me via WhatsApp, and I could just sense the frustration even in the text. And I got so militant, I got so angry in my spirit, and I said, "No longer, devil, it ends right now." And so I got off the phone and I went immediately to prayer, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, "I want you to go on a fast for 7 days. Eat nothing between the hours of 7 and 7. And on the 7th day, call her and pray with her." So I did just that. I fasted for 7 days. I ate nothing between the hours of 7 to 7. And every single day for those 7 days, I would send her a healing scripture for her to read. And I would text her different prayers and I would intercede for her. After the fast, a couple weeks after I reached out to her, I'm like, "Is there any improvement? How are you doing?" And she sent me this long text, like, you know, when a female sends you a text and then they spell like girlfriend, like it's like, you know. And she said, "Girlfriend, I had meant to call you. I was just so busy." She said, "You're not going to believe it, but I can now smell and taste." And I was just so excited that God had finally healed her because we decided to bother the teacher. The Bible said the people came back and they said to Jairus, "Why bother the teacher any longer? Your child is already dead." But before doubt and grief and bitterness or anger could come to his lips, God said to him, "Do not fear, only believe." And it seems simple, but the words "only believe" suggests that there are other possibilities of what he could do. You see, sometimes we have to get down to nothing but belief. Sometimes we have to pray for faith to believe God's word. God wants us to know that the key to our next level in 2021 is to stop diluting our prayer requests with fear, doubt, anxiety, and insecurity. The next dimension of what God wants to do in your life, in your marriage, in your career, in your ministry, has everything to do with how you pray and how you believe. And be prepared, because they're going to tell you to stop bothering the teacher. They're going to say, "Why do you have to pray so long? Why do you have to be so passionate? Why do you have to make so much noise? It doesn't take all that." But we have to be careful who we allow to speak into our situation. We have to be careful about who we allow to speak into our life, because doubt and insecurity are contagious. So the text says, Jesus pulled up into Jairus' home to heal his daughter. And in verse 37 it says, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When he came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. I want to challenge you this year to get connected with some people who only has room for belief. Because when cancer calls, you need to have some prayer warriors who don't believe in what the statistics say, but believe that if we get down on our knees, we can chase cancer away. You need to surround yourself with some people this year who spends most of their time bothering the teacher than gossiping. You need to surround yourself with some people this year who, when they open their mouth, the devil has to flee. The Bible said that the people ridicule Jesus. Can you imagine ridiculing Jesus? And this is why we cannot be thin-skinned on this journey. Because when you start to put some people out of your life, you're going to be ridiculed. They're going to say, "Oh, she thinks she's so bougie. She thinks that she acts as if she's better than us. She acts as if she's better than to hang out with us." So you have to be prepared to be ridiculed. I don't know about you, church, but I'm at a place in my life right now where not everybody gets to speak into my life. Not everybody gets to tell me how to worship. You can tell me how to worship my God. You can tell me how to praise my God. I'm sorry, but you cannot tell me not to bother the teacher, because you don't have the resurrecting power to resurrect my sick situation back to life. The Bible said Jesus made everyone leave the room. Then he looked at the little girl and then he said, "Little girl, arise." I believe this is a declaration from heaven tonight about what God wants to do in your spirit. He wants to resurrect that little girl. He wants to resurrect that little boy. who once lived down inside of you, who believed that anything was possible. He wants to resurrect that little girl or that little boy who was on fire for Jesus. All you wanted to do was just go and preach the gospel and share the good news on the byways and the highways. God wants to resurrect your marriage tonight. He wants to cure that loneliness and that heartbreak and that your insecurities and your feelings of abandonment tonight. Just allow him to touch you like he did that little girl. And he will bring your spirit back. He will bring your fight back. He will save you from your sins. He will bring your dream back to life. He will allow addiction to let you go. He will free you from depression. He will free you from fear. He will free you from worry. The next generation is depending on you to get back up. Your son is depending on you to get back up. Your daughter is depending on you to get back up. But you have to allow the teacher to touch you. And as we navigate this new year, there are three things that God wants you to know. And they are found in the text that we read earlier in Psalms chapter 16, 9 to 11. You see, in our current reality, the world looks dim. We are experiencing wars and rumors of wars and political upheavals, and people are dying all around us. And some say that this is the worst time in world's history. But we as believers know that the worst is yet to come. This is just the beginning. And if ever there is a time that we need Jesus, it's now. So for those of you who are watching and you have not yet accepted Jesus in your life, let me just tell you right now, it's impossible to navigate this life without a Savior. And for those of us who are believers, there are three things that I want to leave with you for 2021 and beyond. The first thing is to rest in hope. Somebody put that word in the chat for me, rest. Verse 9 of the text, Psalm 16, says, "Therefore, my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. My body will rest secure." And I already know that when I read a text that starts with "therefore," you have to ask yourself, what is it therefore? So I'm going to look in the verse right above it. In verse 8, it says, "I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." So the psalmist David is saying, I don't need to worry myself. All I have to do is keep my eyes on Jesus. Amen. You see, when you know that you have a Savior who is with you, you can rest. And it's not that God exempts believers from the troubles of this world. Both believers and unbelievers experience pain and trouble and failure at times. The difference between an unbeliever and a believer is how we process the pain. As believers, we can rest in hope, because we know that God is our protector. We can rest in hope because we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We can rest in hope because we know that God says that no plague can come near our dwelling. Do I have any witness tonight who know that no weapon that is formed against you can prosper? Jesus said in Psalms 91:11, he will even command angels to protect us wherever we go. So rest in hope, my brother. Rest in hope, my sister. God's got you. So David says in verse 9, my heart is glad. He had found the secret to joy. The only way we can find real joy in the midst of our troubles is when we are resting in God. Understanding that our happiness is not dependent on external circumstances, but we rest knowing that our hope is in God. And the second thing I want to leave with you tonight is that God is with you. In verse 10, it says, "Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay." Even in death, God will be with us. The believer only sleeps until the resurrection. And that is why Paul says in Philippians, to live is Christ and to die is gain. There is nowhere that we will go that God will not be with us. I remember when my son just started to go to preschool and I would leave him off at school and it would break my heart so much. And I somehow wish that an invisible part of me could just stay with him in the classroom while I remain at work. But I know that was not possible for me, but not with God. Our Father is there for us all the time. And what I love about God, He is like the perfect navigation system. That if we get off track, He's just there to bring us right back. He says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." He says, "When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. Even when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned." So fear God. God is with you. So the three things we need to know. One, we can rest in hope. Two, God is with us. And the final thing God wants you to know tonight is that He will show you the way. In verse 11 of Psalm 16, it says, "You have made known to me the path of life." All we have to do is acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. Yes, amen. Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And what I love about God is even if we veer off track for a moment, He's always whispering in our ears and redirecting us back on the right path. Because He loves us so much. He loves us. He would not want to see His children suffer. He loves us way too much for that to happen. So I want you to know tonight, continue to bother the teacher. And as you bother the teacher, rest in hope. Know that God is with you and He will show you the way. So if you're watching tonight and you've not yet accepted Jesus into your heart, I want to encourage you to do so before it is too late. It is far too risky to go through this life without a Savior. It's too risky, not in this evil world. Yes. Jesus wants you. You're looking at a living testimony of someone who decided to surrender their life completely to Jesus. Before I met Jesus, I was a hot mess. I would make one step forward, and then I would make 10 steps backward. But then once I decided to give my life to Jesus, He's become my protector. He's become my Lord. He's become my Savior. He's become every single thing I need, and He has completely changed my life. And He wants to do the same for you tonight. Accepting Jesus is very, very easy. Just confess with your lips. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Repent of your sins. And invite Him into your heart. Surrender. Tell Him that you want to surrender your entire heart to Him. And invite Him to be the Lord of your life. And it's that simple. It's that simple. I want you to send a text to 954-388-8780 tonight. And just let us know that you have decided to follow Jesus. And someone will pray with you and connect with you. If you're in the Plantation, Florida area, we invite you to join us here at the Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, where we will pray with you, we will love on you, and help you on the journey. And if you're not in this area, we pray that God will help guide you to a Bible-believing church so that you could start living for Jesus. And for those of you who are believers, I just want to encourage you tonight. Continue to bother the teacher. Continue to bother the teacher. Continue to rest in hope. Know that God is with you, and He will always show you the way. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your people tonight. Thank you, God, for the hearts that you have melted for you, God. Thank you, God, for all those people who have made decision tonight to serve you. Thank you, God, for all those people who have decided to renew their walk with you tonight. Thank you, God, for the renewed hope tonight. Thank you, God, for the blessings tonight. Thank you, God, for your resurrecting power that is reaching into every single home tonight, God, and meeting the needs of your people wherever in the world they are tonight. Thank you, God, for restoring marriages tonight. Thank you, God, for restoring relationships tonight. Thank you, God, for mending broken hearts tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for pulling your people closer to you tonight. Thank you, God, for every single thing that you are doing, God, and what you are about to do. Thank you, God, for speaking your words tonight, God. We thank you, God, that your word will fall on fertile ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a night. What another journey of blessing tonight. I know for sure that each one of you, no matter if you were on Facebook or YouTube or Plantation SDA TV or else, you've been blessed. God has used our sister to talk to each one of us tonight. And each one of us will go to bed tonight with the firm assurance that it's not a problem. It's even a good thing to continue to bother the teacher. I like that, Sister Nicole. Continue to bother the teacher. So I'm inviting all of you tonight to continue to do that. And don't forget the three single things that our sister mentioned at the end. Rest in hope. God is with you, and God will show you the way. This is our way to thank you for being part of the prayer meeting tonight, and to remind you that the week of prayer, Let's Talk About Him, will continue tomorrow night at 7:30. Another night of blessing is waiting for you tomorrow. Please invite your friends, your family, your neighbor, text, invite them to be part of that blessing. And don't forget the prayer line, 954-388-8780. You can text to that pastor line for prayer if you want someone to reach out to you, to study the Bible, if you're making a commitment to serve the Lord, if you have a question, please contact us. So let's close tonight with prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you again, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love and care. Thank you for showing us that love in special ways tonight through our sister Nicole. I'm calling on special blessing upon her, her family, her ministry. I'm calling upon special blessing upon each one we were connected tonight, taking the time to listen to your word and to be fed by you. Thank you, Jesus. And now may all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and bring you with great joy unto his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him, who alone is God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time, and in the present, and beyond all time. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.